presentation.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 WMIE right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And we want to take just these last couple of opportunities to invite you to come and join us this coming Sunday, Memorial Day weekend. We have some musical guests. They're recording artists. They're worship leaders, and they've served here in Central Florida for a number of years. Excuse me. And most recently over at Winter Park Calvary Assembly in Orlando. And so they're going to be with us this Sunday leading worship and sharing the word. And we'd love to have you come and be a part of that 10:30 Sunday morning. We have Sunday school at 9:30. And we also would like to once again mention, if you are a military person or a family member of military personnel, we have several Warriors Bibles, military or written by military personnel for military personnel. It's a study Bible filled with all sorts of wisdom and insight that can help you deal with the challenges, the unique challenges, whether it's how to transition out, whatever it might be. It is, I've not had any of them that we've given away yet that people came back and did not say that it wasn't a blessing in their life. So if you would like one of those, you can contact us at 321-454-4263, 321-454-4263. You can email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com, contact us on Facebook, however you want to get a hold of us, and we will be more than glad to put one of those study Bibles in your hands, absolutely free of charge. No strings attached. Cellophane around it, but no strings. So also, we'd like to say thank you to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 632-9538, 632-9538. We just encourage you, if your AC needs some help, to give them a call, and they can get you back up and running and cool for this summer. Recently, I walked to church. It's about a 3-mile walk. It was early of a morning, and I saw a thermostat, and it said 88 degrees already. It's like, wow, that's going to be a warm one. And so with things like that being said, you don't want to wait until it really gets hot when 88 seems cool, which those days are coming here in the very near future. So let's get into the word today. This is Thursday, May the 26th. Hope that you are having a great day. We want to take you back to Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 3. It says, "You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest. As men rejoice when they divide the spoil, for you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his oppressor, or the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian, for every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and the garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire." I want to start off today by reminding you that God is a God of increase. A lot of times we get focused on addition, but God is not limited to just doing things one at a time. He is able to multiply. It says here in verse number 3, "You have multiplied the nation." Abram was one man and had Sarah, and out of that one man came literally billions of people. Billions of people, because of what God did in that one man's life. And so I want you to know that God is able to multiply and to bring increase. if you just feel like the whole world is against you, that you are never going to break through, you are never going to experience harvest, I want this verse out of Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 3, to be a word of encouragement to you today. It says, you have multiplied the nation. Now, the word nation, it basically means people group. You have multiplied the people group. You have multiplied the land of Israel and the tribe of Judah. You have caused the nation to increase even when it was under attack. If you were to look in Jeremiah, let me take you over there. Jeremiah chapter 29. This was a letter that was written by Jeremiah. It was a prophetic letter that was given to them. And this letter was written to the nation of Judah that had been carried off. And so let me begin reading in verse number 1. Now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive, to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. This happened after Jeconiah, the king, the queen mother, and the eunuchs, and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the smiths, had departed from Jerusalem. This letter was sent by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, aren't you glad you weren't having to read all those names? Verse number 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. So this is a letter specifically with God's instructions to them while they are in captivity. Listen to what it says in verse 5. Build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. So there they were in one of the harshest environments that they could have ever found themselves in. And what God says to them is, I want you to increase in this place, increase even in bondage, increase even in captivity, increase even under the rod of the oppressor. You see, that was one of the things that happened in Egypt under Joseph, was that the children of Israel increased so mightily there that the Egyptian Pharaoh was concerned that the Jewish people would go and join, the Hebrew people would join their enemies should Egypt be attacked. They recognized that they had increased beyond their ability to be controlled. And so I pray that I know that there are probably dozens of churches that are represented by people who are listening, and I pray that every Bible preaching church increases. Even if things, you know, even if the building isn't as beautiful as what you'd like it to be, I pray that God brings increase there. If you don't have the worship that as entertaining as the world would like to say is necessary, I pray that you would increase there. Whatever hindrances or limitations or excuses or reasons that the devil has said to you that you cannot increase because you do not have that, I want you to rephrase that declaration and say, we can increase in this place. God will multiply the people. God will bring increase to our churches because God is with us. It is not because of what we do not have. It is because of whom has us. Who has our hearts, our minds? Who is the one that is in control? It is God, and he is dwelling inside of us. Back to Isaiah chapter 9, he says, you have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. I firmly believe this, that what we need in our churches right now is more soul winners who will go out and touch people's lives for the glory of God. Whenever there's increase, there is joy. The Bible talks about those who go forth sowing in tears, but they shall return in joy, bringing their sheaves with them. And so harvest is a rejoicing time. We just came through Pentecost here a couple of Sundays ago, and it was the first fruit. It was a harvest. It was a celebration. And so God wants for you and I to increase in joy. Don't just settle for being a melancholy, baptized in lemon juice Christian. Your sins have been forgiven. You have a God who is for you, not against you. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You serve a God who saves and a God who heals, a God who fills with power and equips with grace. You serve a God who has positioned you in the body of Christ to be benefited and to benefit others. You have a God who is preparing a place for you that where he is there you may be also. You have his word available to you. Do you realize that right now every person who has access to the internet has access to some of the finest preaching that has ever taken place on the planet? You have more availability to the Word of God. You have more availability to worship music. There is no excuse for us to live deprived lives spiritually when God has made so many resources available. But I'm telling you, you can have all of that and miss out on joy unless you and I allow the increase that God brings to come to pass. Heaven rejoices when sinners repent. And so I pray that our churches would rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest. And so I want to challenge you today to get into the harvest field. Several months ago, I preached a message. I do some teaching via Skype in a Bible school in Fiji. And when the people from our church returned, they came bringing me gifts that the students had made for me. And they were very interesting. One of them, and these were both of these gifts were made for tribal chiefs there. One of them was a war club. It was designed for hand-to-hand combat. And interesting. I mean, you could do some serious damage with that club. But it was also designed that if you needed to throw it, that you would be able to throw it. Now, you would probably have to practice a great deal, but you could throw it, and it had a little knob on the end, and if you threw it appropriately, it would really seriously injure the person you had thrown it at. They also brought me a tribal chief's fork. It doesn't look anything like our table forks here in America. It was designed back when there was a community pot, and the tribal chief would stick his fork down in there and retrieve food from the pot, and then when he had his fill, then everybody else could eat. And so I brought both of those instruments into our service one day. I set them up on our communion table, and I presented the challenge to our congregation that said this: which one of these tools are you the most interested in? Are you interested in the fork, where all you do is get to sit around and eat at the banquet table, or are you interested in the tool of spiritual warfare that will result in harvest for the kingdom of God? Thank God that we get to partake of the bounty of the harvest, that we get to feast on the riches of God's word. We get to feast on his presence. But please understand that he is the Lord of the harvest. And the scripture says in the New Testament, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest field. It is essential that there are laborers that go into the harvest field. If not, the crop rots, it turns to seed, and all of that potential is lost. So there is that, you know. You want to pray that God sends forth laborers. Jesus turns right around after having said that, and he tells the disciples this: go. In other words, when you pray, when you start praying for God to send forth laborers into the harvest, you are the answer to that prayer. I am the answer to that prayer. And so I want to encourage you today to rejoice according to the joy of the harvest. We have got to go out into the harvest field in order to experience the joy that comes from harvest. So, it says, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil, for you have broken the yoke of his burden. Now, I am a very demonstrative person. I get very excited. I get emotionally engaged in sporting events. My kids make fun of me because when we are sitting there watching something on television, I twitch, I adjust, I sit up on the edge of my seat. I get thoroughly engaged in the process. I am immersed in it. I'm there. And when something good happens, I rejoice. But when I'm of this mindset that I've seen way too many teams snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. And so I don't allow myself to fully release my celebratory skills until the contest is completely and totally a finished matter. When my football team wins, I rejoice. Now, I don't rejoice every time they win a game. I rejoice at the larger events, the bowl games, the national championships that we haven't won in a long time, the NFL championships that we won, you know, a few years ago. I rejoice over those things. And when I do, I rejoice because we've been victorious. And that's what the prophet says. He says, rejoice when they divide the spoil. That means that the battle has been won. And so you and I, we rejoice in harvest because the battle has been taken to the enemy. The plunder is things that were once under the enemy's control that is now no longer under his control. In those days, the spoil was the wealth. They didn't have ATMs, so they carried their money with them. They carried their change of clothes with them. They carried their food supply with them. It was a major ordeal to travel into battle. And so whenever somebody got to the place of battle, there was a lot of bounty that was available for the victor. And today I want you to know that God always leads his people in triumphal procession. He leads us victoriously. He leads us triumphantly. I just encourage you today, do not be discouraged. Allow God to bring increase allow God to increase your joy. I have noticed that the people who tend to have the greatest amount of joy in their life are people who have gone through some of the greatest struggles. An interesting thing that I have observed is that there are people here in America who have all of the wealth and the fame and the comfort and the leisure that royalty could afford, and they are miserable, unhappy people. They are trying to replace joy with happiness, happiness that only comes because of whatever happens to you that day. Joy is of greater depth than that. Joy is something, it's a condition of the heart that affects your happenstances. It affects the things that occur in your life, not the things in your life occur to or affect your joy. I've also seen people who, as E.V. Hill once said, that they were so poor that they didn't have two food stamps to rub together. That's poor. Now I don't even think they use food stamps anymore. I think they use EBT cards and stuff like that. But I've seen people who are so desperately impoverished, but because of the relationship that they have with God, they are filled to overflowing with joy. Now, it says here in verse number 4, "For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor." There's a scripture that says that the anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. And when you are being victimized, when you are being oppressed, what you are looking for is you are looking for some external force that has more power than your oppressor to come and conquer them, vanquish them, and to break the yoke. You know, you're constantly, you know, we especially in Pentecostal and charismatic circles, when we see that the anointing breaks the yoke, we start looking for that anointed person, that anointed messenger of God, from somebody that's going to come and they're going to bring us the victory. And it's their responsibility. It's their anointing. But I want you to know that that's when I study that in the Hebrew, that's not what the word picture that comes across to me. It is the picture of an animal that has been feasting on the food sources that were available and had grown so fat, so strong, not fat in a negative sense, fat in the sense of muscle bound, strong because what you have been partaking of, what you have been eating on a regular basis, that is now been converted to muscle on the inside of you. And what it is doing is you are like, you know, if you've ever seen the Hulk, wherever, you know, he starts to transition and his clothes become too small and they begin to burst from the inside out, that's what happens to the yoke, is that the more that we feast on the Word of God, the more that more time we spend in his presence, the more we nurture our spirit, that we grow stronger in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And what happens is that yoke that has kept us bound begins to fracture, and it begins to bend under the sheer strength and the force that God is developing on the inside of you. I want to declare to you today that God wants you to be more than a conqueror, more than an overcomer. He wants you living in freedom, living in strength, and I pray that you would grow stronger day by day in the Lord, and that the yoke, that burden that you have been living under. Now, you might not think of it in terms of a yoke, but I believe that you are maybe familiar with the concept of carrying a burden or having something that is weighing on your heart or weighing on your mind, and it just affects you day after day after day. It rests upon you like a cloud. And today I want you to know that the God who is dwelling inside of you is the omnipotent God. He is the Almighty King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He longs for the fullness of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of you. Today you are not the helpless 90-pound spiritual weakling, but instead you are a child of the King, and you are maturing and growing in the Word of God, and the things, the temptations of sin, the oppression of sin, the burden of problems of this life, all of those should be losing their grip because you and I are growing stronger. Amen? I pray that you have not settled for three things today. I pray that you have not settled for a lack of increase in your life. God did a mental adjustment in my life a long time ago, and he said, if you begrudge increase in another person's life, then how can I ever entrust you with increase? And so I pray that you are believing God for increase. I believe that I pray that you are believing God for a greater level of joy in your life. Not that you're going around, all melancholy and sad and somber all of the time, but instead you are going around as a walking billboard, demonstrating the joy that comes from Jesus living in your heart. And I also pray that you will you will not settle for oppression and the burdensome yoke that the enemy would like to place on you. But instead, I pray that you would be growing stronger day by day in the Lord, and that you will come to a greater realization that God wants us to be victorious over every weapon that Satan has formed against us. So I'm going to close in prayer. We do want to say thank you again to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric for their support. If they can be a blessing to you, give them a call at 632-9538. Come out and see us this weekend for the Cashmans and their ministry in worship and their ministry in the Word. But let's pray right now. Father, I pray for every church this week. God, I pray that there would be someone in that church that would rise up with the spirit of boldness, that they would go forth with the joy of the Lord, and that they would have the privilege of leading someone to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. God, I pray every Bible-believing church would experience at least one salvation this week. And Lord, I pray that burdens would be broken, yokes would be removed, and Jesus would be Lord. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
fire.